faith comes in many different ways. We tend to kind of naturally think of faith, of a person placing their faith in Jesus, happening in a space like this, in a worship service, maybe at an altar, that faith is found. But faith also comes in other places and unexpected places. We probably have all heard at one time or another somebody tell a story about coming to faith in a foxhole, you know, in a little indentation in the ground, just barely deep enough to fit underneath. As artillery shells explode around them, they find faith. And it is a true and real conversion that they experience. Others will find faith walking along the side of the road, simply going from here to there. And in that moment, the Spirit of God speaks to them. Another will find faith sitting in rush hour traffic, when others might be using more colorful descriptions of what is happening around them. In that moment, suddenly they find themselves in a space of worship and experiencing God. But there are a few places probably least likely to think about somebody finding faith than on a cross. Now, we put crosses up on our wall, and sometimes people will wear crosses. Sometimes it's a symbol of their faith, and others just because it's cool-looking jewelry, and so they wear it. But a cross is a symbol of torture, the injustice and systematic injustice of the state, a reminder of the power of of those who have power over those who are weak and the lengths that they will go to maintain that power and that control. It seems like an unlikely place for a person to find faith on the cross. Matthew records that as the people were these men are crucified with Jesus. There is Jesus, a man on his right, and a man on his left. As these three men are crucified together, Matthew records as they hang there on the cross, the crowds would come by, the religious leaders, and they would come by and they would taunt and they would mock. They would say, "You saved others, but why can't you save yourself?" He would also say that as this mocking is going on, that both the man on his right and on his left would taunt and mock Jesus. "What are you doing here? Come on, save yourself. Save yourself and get us down from this cross." But at some point, it seems, as Luke records, one of the men, as he watched Jesus die, as he watched Jesus go through this experience of suffering, something began to turn and twist inside of him. He began to question, he began to wonder, as he watched Jesus die. The men on the other side continued to taunt and to mock. "If you claim you are the Messiah, come down from the cross. Take us from this cross too as well." And finally, the man on the other side had had enough, and he yells at the other guy. He says, don't you fear God at all? He says, "We're in this place. We are being crucified because of what we have done. We are getting what we deserved. We committed the crimes. We did it. We're getting the just punishment. But this guy didn't do anything. And yet you choose to mock him?" And then he turns to Jesus and says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he hears Jesus say to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And there, at perhaps one of the least likely places, the man finds faith. He goes from death to life, hanging on a cross. The man first finds faith begins, and then we find faith, it first begins with an honest examination of who we are. He acknowledges and accepts his own sin and his failure. He accepts that he is here, and his being and the punishment that he's receiving is just and right. All of us tend to live our lives behind masks, hiding. We make excuses in the way we live our life. All of us at one time, we probably have all at one time talked about, "Why can't this person take personal responsibility?" But then when it comes to ourselves, we are just as quick to make our own excuses and to dodge and to avoid our own personal responsibility. It's much easier to expect somebody else to do it. But faith begins with an honest examination, accepting the reality of who we are, accepting the reality of our sin and staring it in its face. Two kings of Israel take two wildly different paths. The first king, Saul, the anointed king of Israel, he in preparing for a battle one day, he offers a sacrifice that he is not authorized to offer. And when the prophet finally does come and his sin is exposed, Saul's reaction is immediately to do what we often do, to make excuse. "Well, you were late, Samuel," is the prophet. "You didn't get here in time. The people were going to rebel against me. I had to do something, God. You didn't show up on time." And he pushes away and he pushes the blame, unwilling to expose his own sin. His successor, David, perhaps sins even worse. He is exposed as well. At best, he commits adultery. At worst, he commits rape as he sees Bathsheba and takes another man's wife. He is exposed as well by the prophet to his sin, but David's reaction is very different. David confronts his own sin. In Psalm 51, he prays, "Against you and you alone have I sinned," speaking to God. He confesses his sin. He acknowledges his failure. And the path is wildly different between two kings. One makes excuse. One faces his darkness and confesses his sin. Faith begins with an honest examination and facing our own sin and our own failure. Faith also is found in the acknowledgement of who Jesus is. Pilate would go on and have this debate and this argument with Jesus, trying to figure out who he is. He'd finally ask Jesus, "Are you a king?" And sure enough, he is a king, but Pilate cannot accept what kind of king he is. But this man on the cross sees Jesus there, sees Jesus dying, and realizing this moment on the cross, what looks like the end is the enthronement of a king into his kingdom. John, throughout his gospel, will record Jesus saying, speaking of one day when the Son of Man will be lifted up, and acknowledges that this is the moment of the enthronement as Jesus as king in the kingdom of God. Maybe you recently watched all the pomp and circumstance of Charles becoming king of England, all the glitz and all the gold and all the ritual and the practices that went through that finally enthroned him as king of England. But for Jesus, his enthronement, his coronation is on this cross. And this man beside him sees it and sees what nobody else could see. This is the Son of God entering into his kingdom. And he says to Jesus, "When you go into your kingdom, I want to go there with you too. I want to come into your kingdom." We maybe have all, at one time or another, have kind of dismissed Jesus. We've made fun of, we've mocked, we've rejected, we dismissed. Maybe his expectations were too high. Maybe we've mocked those who claim to be followers of him. Or at best, we've said, "Well, he's a good teacher. He taught good moral teachings. He gave us a good ethical way to live." But we haven't yet confronted that he is God and he is Lord of our lives. After Jesus' resurrection, Thomas, one of the original disciples, Jesus will appear to the other disciples, but Thomas, for some reason, is not there on that day. And they try to explain and try to tell him about that Jesus has risen and Jesus was there. And Thomas's reaction is, "Unless I see him, unless I touch those wounds, I cannot believe." Sometimes we're a lot like that. We hear everybody else talk about Jesus. Everybody else talk about their experience, but we find ourselves saying, "Unless I experience him, unless I see him, I cannot believe." And Jesus comes to Thomas. He says, "Thomas, go ahead and touch the wounds." Thomas's reaction is, "My Lord and my God." Faith is found in first an honest examination of who we are, and second found in the declaration, "My Lord and my God." that Jesus has been enthroned. And his crucifixion on the cross is his enthronement as Lord and God. We don't know all that happened from that point forward, after this brief interaction between this man and Jesus. We don't know if the guy on the other side continued to taunt and mock, or if he just fell silent. Matthew records that at one point, that finally they would, as the night is getting close to the sun being setting and it's entering into Passover, the Jews would really like these bodies to be off the cross, and so Rome accepts that, and so they send the soldiers to break their legs and to speed their death. But as they come to Jesus there in the middle, they find that he has already died. And so they don't break his legs, but as they reach the other two men, they break their legs to speed their death. In that moment, that man found new life. He still died. He still died in pain. But he died a victor over sin and death, receiving the full benefits of the kingdom of God. Another time, Jesus would tell a parable. He would say there was a man who owned a field, and he needed workers to tend the field. And so he went out first thing in the morning to the square, and people milling about looking for work. And he took those in the square, and he said, "If you'll go work in my field, I'll pay you a day's wages." So they went to go work in his field. Later, as the day went on, he went out again. He found more people in the square milling about. "What are you doing here?" "We're waiting for work. Go work in my field. I'll pay you a fair wage." He does this multiple times, all the way up until about an hour before the day is over. He goes and he finds more workers in the square. "Go work in my field and I'll pay you a fair wage." When it comes time to pay their daily wages, he pays those who worked an hour the full wage of a day's work, the same as those who worked all day. Whether they work an hour or they work a full day, they all receive the full benefits of the kingdom of God. This man is hanging on a cross. He is at the last moment. He is there justly by his own confession, because of his own sin, because of the things that he has done. He is suffering his own just execution. But he receives, in that moment, the full benefits of the kingdom of God. And you can imagine, perhaps, knowing that Jesus died first, that as this man received the victory of new life, and he stood before God, perhaps God saw him coming and said, "I've been waiting for you. Your older brother said you were coming," as he entered into new life of the kingdom. Let's pray together.